Of Monday, February 12th will come to order. Senator Moi, you have a bill that needs some language modification, my understanding is.
That's right.
This might be the only one that gets out of here this year, just so you know.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, thank you for the opportunity to come to you on Senate File 257. I'm Senator Mi Moi, and I represent the east side of St. Paul, and I'm very honored to be in front of this wonderful committee and the new chair of this committee. I'm here to just ask for a two-word assertion into what was in the bonding bill or the capital investment bill last year, Mr. Chair. What we were able to do was to get $400,000 of pre-design money for the Asian Pacific Cultural Center. The Asian Pacific Cultural Center has been a project that's been in existence since 2001. In 2002, we were able to procure some bonding dollars for the Cultural Center, and Governor Ventura, in his great wisdom, line item vetoed the project. We've been trying ever since then to get the project off the ground. Last year was a really good year, because the Senate, as well as the House, saw that this is a worthwhile project, and they wanted to make some significant investment in the project so that when we come around to the next bonding cycle, the project would be ready to take off. I'm so pleased to announce to you that even though I've been carrying this bill since 2002, it was never contemplated that it would be in my Senate district. And I'm proud to announce to you that that not through my own effort, but through the great wisdom of the stakeholders involved, it is now going to be on the east side at the former Hams Brewery location. So, Mr. Chair and members, when we went through the bonding bill last year, the pre-design language was left off, not intentionally, but through the very quick pacedness of the end of the session, the pre-design language was left off. And the $400,000 that was given to the Asian Pacific Culture Center was intended to include pre-design and design cost. And we're here to ask you to allow us to just insert that so that now that we have secured a location, we can go ahead with the pre-design and design expenditures. I stand for any question. I have with me Naomi Chu, who is the executive director of the Asian Pacific Culture Center, to answer any questions you might have.
Senator Moi, given the fact that this will be at the Hams Brewery, are you going to have Asian culture beer being made there? Or is,
well, Mr. Chair, I don't think we'll be brewing any hams like beer, but you know, in all the different uses of the building, we might have some demonstration opportunities, and you will
be
on top of the list.
There you go. All right.
Of invitees.
So, member, does anybody have any questions of Senator Moi? This is pretty straightforward. They just need to get the word pre-design in. The money was awarded in last bonding session.
That's right.
Right. And so they just need to get pre-design in so that they can do it at the new location. And how do I proceed here if I don't have a quorum yet? Should I lay this over until we get a quorum? Mm-hmm. Wait, do we have a quorum?
No,
we don't have one yet. Senator Moi, what we'll do is, so you can get on your way, is we'll lay this aside for right now. And because what you want to do is you want to send this to the Finance Committee, right?
Mr. Chair, yes, if it's the members' wish, and I hope it is, we'd like to send it to the Finance Committee so that it can go on to the floor as a separate bill. It's progressing in that same manner in another body.
Okay. It appears that members are all over the place in different committee meetings right now because we're starting to do a lot of bills, and so some members are doing bills in other committees. As soon as we get a – you can leave, I think, unless your witness wants to make a comment. But you can leave, and we'll lay this aside for right now, and then when we get a quorum, Senator Saxog will make a motion to move this on to the Finance Committee for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Hang on 1 second. Mr. Jensen.
I think the senator would like to have it placed on the consent calendar on the Senate floor. That would be part of our recommendation.
I thought it had to go. We have to refer
it.
We have to refer
to finance first.
But don't they make that motion there then? Or do we make a motion here?
Make that motion here, I think.
So we're going to recommend that it be placed on the consent calendar. No, we're going to recommend that it be referred to the Finance Committee and that they place it on the consent calendar. Right? Is that
they have
the proper motions? Okay. Thank you, Senator Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
It was a pleasure seeing you in front of the committee.
My first bill, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley.
Kubley.
Oh, wait. Now you can stay. Hang on. The quorum is present. Senator Saxhog moves that Senate file number 257 be re-referred to the Committee on Finance with the recommendation that this bill be re-referred to the consent calendar on the floor. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion is adopted. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Kubley.
Let's come on up.
We don't say
we're done. Excuse me. Well, Mr. Chair and members, I guess, thanks for the opportunity to present Senate File 166. It's an opportunity that will renew the partnership that has helped a lot of small communities throughout greater Minnesota to meet some pretty basic local planning and development needs. You know, over the years, the legislature has, in fact, provided some rather modest appropriations that help the RDCs to help local units of government with really local projects. So I think it's very oriented toward giving local control to those rural areas of the state. But every dollar that the state provides is matched by at least another dollar in non-state funds, and in some cases they provide up to $2 in a match. But the focus of the program is really on small cities and townships and counties, and in most cases they're jurisdictions that do not have full-time planning staff. They really can't afford that kind of staff, but we can help them get projects done with help from the RDCs, and this program literally helps keep those places on the map. But this planning approach responds to local priorities and local initiatives, and I think the fact that this is locally driven project work is a real selling point for me in sponsoring the bill. You know, I have with me today John Chell from one of the RDCs, and he can tell you about the work they've done in the past, and he'll also address some local needs and the level of interest among local units of government for this program. I was told by the Minnesota Association of Townships that they support this legislation as well.
Mr. Shell, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Senator Tomasoni, members of the committee. Rather than emphasize the issues that we worked on in past years when this appropriation was available, and I believe that was through 2002, I'd like to talk with you a bit about some of the projects coming up in northeastern Minnesota, which I'm most familiar with the Arrowhead Regional Development Commission, and how these dollars might help our region. Let's talk about housing for a minute. Within the last 6 weeks, a coalition of housing experts at the local level, including the Itasca County Housing Authority, the St. Louis County HRA, and the TUCAP agency, Kutaska and AEOA, talked with me about their needs for housing in northeastern Minnesota. While they were fairly confident that their own approaches would be able to provide some housing expertise at the local level, they were frustrated by a couple of things. One, their inability to work across the political boundaries. In other words, an expert in multifamily housing from the Itasca HRA could not work in St. Louis County without finding a source of funding to do so. And the same was true for St. Louis County, working on single-family developments in Itasca County. And yet, as a group, they understood that they all had professional strengths that they simply couldn't bring to bear across these political boundaries. They suggested to me, what if Arrowhead Regional Development Commission could house one position that would be able to work with them, apply for grants, try to weave together the many separate sources of funding for housing projects, provide the demographic and grant writing abilities, and also look for some funds by which they could use at the local level to work across their political boundaries. They said they would really appreciate our focus on that. If this legislation is passed, we'll be able to assist all of our local housing professionals in northeastern Minnesota across their political boundaries. Secondly, as I think many of you are aware, and certainly the chairman of this committee, there are proposed now on the Iron Range about $5 billion worth of separate industrial expansion and new industrial projects. This not only would be the largest single industrial expansion in northern Minnesota, indeed in the history of the state, but would lead to some challenges for our local communities. As Senator Coogley said, these communities do not have their own planning staff. And what we would do through this process is be able to provide land use plan updates, zoning ordinance updates, identify with them some of the challenges that this potential growth might bring, and assist them with solutions. Thirdly, and one I want to emphasize, is geographic information systems. At the federal level and through this legislature and legislators before it, there have been millions and millions of dollars invested in geographic information systems for state government and for the Metropolitan Council. In a recent United States Geological Survey report, the federal government is saying that approximately 50% of this data is lost because of non-ability to use that data across governmental lines. We are hoping in northeastern Minnesota to be able to provide that guidance as our counties come online with their own geographic systems, to be able to provide at the local level a process by which local communities can start utilizing this same technological information by providing a consolidated server and website, as well as technical assistance for our local communities who cannot afford to have their own GIS technicians on staff. Two other things that I'd like to mention that are unique to northeastern Minnesota but do, I think, capture some of the themes developing across Minnesota for our rural communities. One is the North Shore Management Board. There is a consolidated group of governments along the North Shore that are committed to managing effectively the land use and environmental issues associated with growth of commercial and residential seasonal property along the North Shore. Unfortunately, there is not a funding source available for this organization. ARDC in the past has provided planning support to this group, and were this legislation to pass, we'd be able to continue to assist them with professional-level planning services along the North Shore. And finally, we do anticipate that the shoreline standards may be passed this time around, increasing the complexity and sophistication of shoreland land use management. While I think our counties in northeastern Minnesota are very effective in providing that kind of professional land use control, indeed there are communities and townships which also have land use shoreland zoning authority. These communities, again, do not have professional land use planners and can rely upon the ARDC with this legislation to help them with this major environmental issue. Finally, I'd say there are two virtues of this legislation. One is a formal relationship with the Department of Employment and Economic Development. Over the years, they have become the go-to state agency for the regional development commissions. We formed a partnership with them on the JobZ program and also on various economic development initiatives. Having a state agency for which we can be liaisoned, I think, will help not only our regional development commissions, but also help assist the state of Minnesota, indeed the Department of Employment and Economic Development. Finally, this is about capacity building. As we've mentioned over and over in our testimony, our local units of government really do need greater support in land use planning, geographic information systems, economic development, and transportation and housing. These are the kinds of capacity building technical assistance results that could be the result of you providing us with this legislative resource. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Schell. Any questions from the committee? This is all new language. So, but we've had this project before in the past. I don't know if it's 4 or 5 or 6 years ago. That
it was about 6 years ago, Mr. Chairman.
And it worked very well, from what I remember. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Senator Dribble, you're looking at me like, okay, Senator Coogley, what we're going to do here is lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Is that okay with you? Do you have any final comments, Senator?
I would not, Mr. Chair. I just assumed it would go to finance, but laying it over would probably work too, so that'd be fine.
What will happen is we'll lay it over in this committee, and then we put it into the big bill once
sure.
we get the target and everything, and then
that's
once
fine.
It passes out of here, then it'll go to full finance.
Okay.
So we'll lay this over. Oh, sorry, Senator.
Yeah, just a comment that this is the way government's got to be headed. I mean, you can't expect every little local unit of government to understand some of these complexities, and you have to form a coalition and a process, like you're pointing out here, to get things done at a cheaper price tag. I mean, the locals can't. They don't have the experience. They don't have the wherewithal. They don't have the global picture. And you've got to go this way to streamline government and to move things along in these areas you're talking about. So I think this is a wonderful idea. But the government's got to do more of this, where we collaborate, do things together. And it costs a couple of bucks up front. But this, in the long run, programs like this will save the taxpayers' money. Isn't that the truth? I mean, it is. No question about it.
Mr. Shaw.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, that's a very good point. I'd like to also emphasize the fact that there are greater expectations coming out of what I call the Mosquito Control District, out of the metropolitan area, toward land use planning with particular regard to our heavy natural resource areas, our shoreland, our floodplain, and our forests. At the same time, these expectations, which include more sophisticated approaches to land use planning, are moving forward. Local units of government don't have the tools in many cases to provide this kind of sophisticated approach. And we find, ironically enough, that they're now funding their land use planning and zoning authorities through the property tax, which is really an after-the-fact kind of approach to effective planning. In other words, the revenues come in after the monstrosities have been built. Through this kind of approach, we think we can provide a more effective and anticipatory type of planning for these local units of government.
Any further comments from committee members? Okay. Thank you, Senator Kubley. With that, we'll lay Senate file number 166 over for possible inclusion in the omnibus economic development bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Senator Saxhock. Senator Saxhock.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Today I'm presenting Senate File 466. The bill will give a $200,000 grant from deed to the Children's Discovery Museum in Grand Rapids. After this grant, the museum will finally be able to become self-sufficient as originally intended by the legislature of 2001, but was unceremoniously a line item vetoed by the Ventura administration. I have a handout that we'll go over, and with me today is John Kelch, director of the museum, to give a brief testimony and answer any questions the committee might have.
Thanks. Mr. Kelch, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, children in our 10-county area generally do not have access to extended learning programs commonly found in the metro area. We want to give these kids the very best that a children's museum can offer. The Children's Museum in Grand Rapids is clearly a regional project. We're the only children's museum north of St. Paul from western Wisconsin to the North Dakota border. Over the last several years, our interactive school service program has been used by 146 different schools from 65 different Northland communities. I hope you can take a minute to look over the list of 146 schools. I wish you could see how excited these kids are when they step off the bus from all points north and south, east and west, for a day of fun, learning enrichment. They arrive year after year from 45 school districts in 10 counties, Aiken, Beltrami, Carlton, Cass, Clearwater, Crow Wing, Hubbard, Itasca, Kuching, and St. Louis. We've enrolled 28,000 children to date, and the teachers are giving it high praise. This is the last funding piece in our capital campaign. We've built assets worth $2.5 million in the last 10 years. That includes the land, the new Children's Museum building, the Judy Garland Historic House, and priceless collections. Now, if this appropriation is approved, almost three-quarters of our $2.5 million project will be privately funded. Over three-quarters is privately funded. I want to thank you for your consideration, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions from the committee? Senator Saxhock, no, this isn't, we shouldn't have the Tin Man sitting here or the Scarecrow or anything, should we?
Well, we're waiting. Maybe a little later down the line. It's the cowardly lion that we usually bring in.
Mr. Kelch, you mentioned private funds. Will this be used to leverage some private funds, or is it just a matter of they're coming in as a result of your mission?
They've already come in. This would be the last funding piece. We need to reduce our capital investment burden on the building, and that's what it would be used for.
And the 28,000 kids you talked about, they're actually coming through the doors, or they're served online, or coming through the doors, or what's?
They're coming through the doors on buses from the 10 county area, and that's in the last 5 years.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
So that doesn't include our drop-in visitors.
Okay, all right. Any other comments from the committee? Okay. Well, we're going to do the same with this one, Senator Saxhag. Then we'll lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus economic development bill, because we don't have targets yet and we don't know how much money we have. So we'll just lay this on the table. So thank you very much. I appreciate you coming down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Senator Vickerman. Welcome to the committee, Senator Vickerman.
Chairman, I have with me today Glenn Thuringer. He's a manager of the Worthington and Nobles County Economic Development Committee, and Wayne Freese, the CEO of the Prairie Holdings Group's bioscience-based company in Worthington. They're here today to help me testify on bills Senate File 433 or House File 535. And express the importance of developing a high-quality workforce to not only grow the local companies, but attract new companies to the region to help diversify the rural economy. Worthington, with its effort from an Economic Development Office, Minnesota West Community and Technical College, and the private sector have taken upon themselves to develop a program to provide trained lab technicians. The program is unique because it ties into the high school juniors and seniors. The Worthington Regional Economic Development Corporation also funds the Science Club in a middle school, which is a feeder to the high school program, which is a feeder into the college program. They now see and understand the need to advance their efforts to assure long-term success. They are requesting, Mr. Chairman, $2 million to develop a bioscience business incubator in Worthington Bioscience Park for training and testing. And, Mr. Chair, I have Glenn Thuringer, who will speak, and also Wayne Freese will speak. And Mr. Chairman, if you've ever been down in Worthington, the old RDC building or the old Prairie Expo, we converted that over into a fantastic building now, and this is going to add to it. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll ask Mr. Thuringer to explain a little bit more, and then we come back to Mr. Freese.
Senator Vickerman, is that what the $2.5 million in the bonding bill was used for, to fix that old building?
That was for the infrastructure in the bioscience park.
Go ahead, you can answer.
The $2.5 million you're referring to in the 05 was to put an infrastructure in the bioscience park just north of the Prairie Expo. We have some boards that we'll pass around and some layouts in here that we can explain that as well.
Okay. Go ahead. Mr. Thuringer.
Good afternoon, Committee Chair and Senators. My name is Glenn Thuringer, and I manage the Worthington Regional Economic Development Corporation for Worthington and Nobles County. We've passed out a book, I believe each of you have one. In the first page, you'll see a brief summary of the request. But we're going to start with Mr. Wayne Freese, CEO of Prairie Holdings Group, who occupies a former Prairie Expo and has since they've purchased it, they have more than doubled the square footage and are growing their business very nicely in it. And he'll give a history of the biosciences in Worthington and where their company's at now and the growth of their company. Wayne?
Mr. Freese, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Wayne Freese from Prairie Holdings Group in Worthington, Minnesota.
Is that Freese like Freese an ice cream cone?
That's Freese like Freese an ice cream cone, okay. F-R-E-E-S-E.
Okay.
About 30 years ago, on page one of the book in that was handed out. I was just sitting over in the side here, and a person from the deed office says, is that what you started in? I said, yes, that's the house we started in about 30 years ago on page one there. And we had about two employees, and in the 70s and 80s developed a business called Oxford Laboratories, which is in the upper right-hand corner. And that facility employed about 80 to 100 people and was sold in 1989 to the Upjohn Company because we wanted to leverage our technology. And at that point of time, the Upjohn Company sold it to Bayer. Bayer sold it to the Intervet Company. And on page two, that company right now employs about 80 to 100 people in Worthington and makes a tremendous amount of vaccine that is actually shipped down to Kansas City, where they have a bottling facility and another production plant down in Kansas City. But that facility is operating very strongly in Worthington, Minnesota.
What kind of vaccine?
Swine, cattle, equine vaccines, various vaccines for livestock.
Oh, okay.
In addition to the Intervet plant in Worthington, we also have a new soy diesel plant 5 miles up the road. We have an ethanol plant going up, and we also have a major slaughter facility in Worthington that employs a number of people that are involved in QC work. In 1994, I left the laboratory called Oxford Laboratories and went back into production agriculture, and we decided that we wanted to build a second laboratory and really fulfill a niche market called custom vaccines. And basically, that a custom vaccine is much like the flu vaccine that you would use as people, for people. And a custom vaccine, what we mean by that is the antigens or the viruses are changed quite often. In people, it's changed every 6 months, and once in the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. So our group started out and said, let's get into a custom vaccine laboratory. We had a lot of experience with livestock. We felt major livestock companies were going to move this way. So we developed Newport Laboratories, started in that house again with two people in 1994, and then we remodeled a production facility in 1997. And that was one of our projects that we realized that we needed more and more training to occur in Worthington. Our Prairie Holdings group also has grown from about 40 people to 220 people in the Worthington area. It was noted here that we've added about 25 people over the year for the last 6 years. And in 2003, on page four, we were the group that bought the Prairie Expo facility from the state, and we appreciated the opportunity to get in there and remodel it into a corporate office building. It's, we have about 75 people that work in that office building, and basically we're starting to run out of room. We're in the south part of the Bioscience Park in Worthington. And so what I'm here to talk about is that a Newport Laboratory started out with two people in 1997, and in 2007, now we have 104 people working in Newport Laboratories. We're the vaccine laboratory on the east and north side of town, while the Intervet facility runs on the south side of town. In the last 6 months now, we've hired about 40 people in the production and research area of Newport Laboratories. About 2 years ago, we decided that if we were going to continue growing as we were going to have to develop a workforce in Worthington. And we were going to have facilities for that workforce. We entered into a $2 million research and development building that we moved into last summer. And as part of that building, we dedicated a portion of that building to research and training. And along with the Blandon Foundation, the Worthington Regional Economic Development Commission, and also the Minnesota West Community and Technical College, we sat down and brainstormed, and we said, how can we develop a lab tech training center that can not only help us, but a whole lot of people in the area? In Worthington, there's over 250 laboratory positions in the town of 12,000. That includes the medical clinic, the hospital. Swift has a slaughtering plant, has about 60 people. As I mentioned, the Intervet facility has about 80 people, and we have 100 people in Newport Laboratories. We have found that whether it was in Oxford Laboratories or Newport Laboratories, we can hire people with PhDs and masters fairly readily. But where we really struggle is to try to take people with a bachelor's degree out of college and integrate them into either a diagnostic laboratory or a production training program. And so we entered into this joint relationship with Minnesota West Community and Technical College, and we provided them laboratory space, and they developed a curriculum, put some equipment in, and we started our first set of training last fall. And we have about 15 people entered into the program, and they're coming on-site and having coursework done in Worthington. Now, concerns that we have with the program, is, and that's on page 7. You can see an actual training session going on. I think there's 3 to 4 days a week there's coursework going on in that particular area of the new facilities. And then also page 7, we're in the Bioscience Park. We're in the south part of that Bioscience Park. North part is where the $2.5 million was spent to develop the infrastructure. Now, we really feel that we're going to be at a cornerstone, or we're going to be at a turning point in a couple of years, because we need to expand that program and get it up to 30 to 40 people in that coursework. We want to get down to the high school level and get people interested in junior high, high school, go out to the college, get in this training program. We also feel that possibly having it in our facility may keep other businesses from inquiring as they should be. But we want to look at this as a regional program for Southwest Minnesota that other companies, Schwann's and Marshall, could use people coming out of that course. Again, the soy diesel, the ethanol plants, the slaughter plants, and certainly all the medical facilities in Southwest Minnesota, along with the hospital facilities, could use these people.
Mr. Freese, what was the reason you couldn't get the people with the 4-year degrees to come to work for you?
We can get them to come, but they require so much more training than it would with people at a master's level and a PhD level, and that's why we decided we had to get a training program to acclimate them. The other thing...
But the ones that you're doing now are probably coming out of high school, going into the tech college, and they're coming...
Yep.
Like a 2-year degree they're coming to you?
No, it's a 4-year degree.
It's still a 4-year degree.
It's a 4-year degree. And we also wanted to try to get a bioscience program going in that Southwest Minnesota area, because what we found over the years is people that start in an area tend to stay in the area. And it's a little harder to attract possibly the bachelor's people coming out of the metro areas than it is from a local regional area. So I've given you a little background on the training and testing center, and I'm going to turn the microphone back to Glenn Thuringer.
Thank you, Wayne. Would you clarify, Wayne, you're hiring 2- and 4-year people now, but coming out of the Minnesota West Lab Tech training program would be a 2-year employee?
It could be 2 years or 4 years.
Okay, if they went on to their 4-year.
Yes.
Okay.
The 4-year degree isn't provided at the tech college.
That is correct.
They'd have to go to the University of Minnesota or
Marshall.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And they
have the follow-up programs there that you need?
Well, I'm not sure how they have a 4-year degree program for various types of medical curriculums. This is a course that we're trying to attract people to come out and get in an actual work setting, talk to researchers, talk to technicians, and take a look around the building and get them interested. And we want the people interacting with our people in the facility enough that they'll say, hey, I want to stay in this bioscience curriculum, and now I may want to go to U of M or Mankato or Marshall.
You're up and running, and you've obviously been pretty successful at this. Is the workforce the only hindrance to maybe bigger expansion? Senator Metzen's got a business committee that we're trying to figure out if we're doing anything at the state level as a result of our laws that would impede you from actually going forward. And in this case, it doesn't sound like it.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, we've been innovative enough over the years that we'll get the job done one way or the other. This could just be a lot easier if we could get more of a trained workforce. And, again, Dr. Simonson, who is our chief operating officer, said, I want you to reiterate, it's still a struggle to get people just coming out of college with any amount of training. And so we're trying to get a higher level of training before they get out of college.
Okay. Mr. Thuringer.
Thank you. We appreciate the extra interest in the education component. Sometimes people have a tendency to get buried up in the walls and the building themselves, and we are here emphasizing education. Mankato also has an opportunity to pursue into the four-year from this level. There is a whole complete story that we have, as you can about imagine, with the Blandon Foundation. You heard Wayne mention that. The Blandon Foundation process really brought some of this to the forefront for us, and is how the curriculum and the grant from Blandon helped us write the curriculum with the private sector's input. And because of the importance of quality workforce, that's why we're here in front of you today. We are ready to implement the next level of training, and that's what Wayne's talking about. In this training center, there will be the opportunity for students to interact with AURI is a partner that we want to bring into this with us. They cannot really go off-site from their current location in Marshall, but we have a biofuels alternative or an alternatives fuels division of this that we want to implement into the incubator. And what we want AURI to do is to help with the curriculum, so to speak, and the process. They would approve it, and Minnesota West would help teach it, and it would give the kids a further opportunity. So we're seeking your support in the Training and Testing Center, which would feature an incubator space, as I mentioned, with classrooms, labs, and offices. We have a 15,000-square-foot spec building sitting in our Bioscience Park now that the city and county have built. We're considering converting that to an incubator, three equal space incubators, and adding on somewhere between 7 and 10,000 square feet to house the training and testing portion of this. Other features that could be added into this are the Chamber of Commerce, Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Economic Development Office that I manage, and on the very fringes there's starting to be conversation about the Regional Workforce Center moving into this facility as well. Potential partners, as I've already mentioned, City and County, Minnesota West Community Technical College, AURI, and obviously it won't go anywhere without the private sector involved with it. Important for future economic development for new businesses, we'll have access to support in business planning, technology, training, support staff, and much more. Allows companies to keep their overhead lower as they're starting out on the incubator side of this. And we see the incubator, the AURI, the alternative fuels all coming together, and the main driver of this, I can't iterate it enough, is going to be training opportunities, giving students exposure and working with companies side by side. That's what Wayne was talking about with the portion that's going on in his facility right now that Minnesota West is providing the lab tech training. There's opportunities for these students to interact with the professionals. Hence, the industrial applied lab technician is what our output and what we're looking for in the students. We will have a managing tenant, which would be Minnesota West Community and Technical College. Other institutions have alternative fuels testing equipment. However, the primary use for some of most of this equipment is emissions control testing and for testing the quality. We're looking at working on the manufacturing end of this. As I mentioned, AURI will help develop the processes, and Minnesota West will help apply it as a curriculum. Quality assurance will be another opportunity for training. As Wayne had mentioned, we have lab technicians in the meat processing plants, the soybean processing, the biodiesel, AMPI, Schwann's. We expect to have interactions sending employees to them and them sending product to the facility. Again, a training opportunity for the students. The focus will be on and the output of high-quality workforce technicians for the industry, not on the next miracle fuel, such as in the component where we'd be dealing with AURI. But then again, don't be surprised by young minds. This will be truly a regional, state, and national impact. There are companies that we're dealing with right now that we have opportunities of locating in our bioscience park. We're working with a company from Pennsylvania that's looking at putting a hyaluronic acid plant where they fill syringes in our bioscience park. Their number one component and why they're interested in us is they need a very specialized technician, and they see where they can impact the curriculum and get their component put in the curriculum and work with the students and develop the technicians that they need. We thank you for your willingness to listen to us. I would like to answer any questions. If it's okay, Chair, may I pass these boards around so you can get a little bit better look? They're not overly big.
No.
Too big?
No, we're going to have you hold them up and explain them in a second, but just wait a second here, because I love this one line here. This is a one-time appropriation and is available until expended. I got to start putting those in some of my bills. That's good. I like it. We have something. We have another bill coming through. It's a biosciences bill. I'm just going to have Mr. Jensen here explain it. It's kind of similar to this, and you might be able to piggyback on it. And I noticed you mentioned a bunch of partners, and one of the ways to get some of this money easier is if you got some kind of matching funds to go with it. But I'll let Mr. Jensen just give you a down and dirty on this other bill that we got. So.
Mr. Chairman, members, there's another bill coming, the Biobusiness Partnership, $2.2 million, and they've offered to match that money in their bill. And to be consistent, you might want to consider a match on this bill also.
Chairman.
Senator.
That's exactly what I was talking about over here. This is looks like a good project, but so often we require a local match, and I'm just kind of wondering if you guys could, instead of the state paying for everything, we understand what you're doing, and it's a good thing, and you're building jobs, creating jobs, but so oftentimes my experience around here is that the locals match or something. If we just pay for the whole thing, I don't know. And I want to help you, but
Ms.
Thuringer.
Chair, we completely understand that, and we'd like to point out the fact that it was the city, the county, public utilities, and the Economic Development Office that initially bought the land that is now the Bioscience Park. We have the city and county have paid for the spec building. That's paid for. And I realize the college, is that local or is that state? But we have a lot of our local people involved with the college have put a lot of time in developing this, and also with the Blandon Foundation. And then the private sector has been very active, such as donating space, management time, curriculum time, things of that nature. And we hope that that can be given some consideration in this as well. But we understand the question and appreciate it.
And maybe what you want to do for the committee members is kind of just itemize some of that stuff so you can show what the total is.
List it all at itemize, Mr. Chairman. Yeah.
And how did you get money from the Blandon Foundation?
They.
I can't. I don't know.
You might not want to ask that question due to the fact that I have a 45-minute presentation that we've been going around the state.
No. Okay. Before we look at the charts, any further questions on this? Go ahead.
There are some pullouts that also explain the layouts of the.
Which are similar? Are they similar to the charts there?
Mostly similar, yes. Okay. This has a couple additions to it.
For those of us who look at this and think it's a Greek column, can you kind of just stand that thing up and explain what you want us to understand here on this?
This one here is the most basic one, obviously. This here, you'll see three faces along here. This is our current spectral. What we're looking at adding is this 7,000 to 10,000 square feet here. I realize 7 to 10,000 is a fairly broad number, but you've heard the list of partners that I listed out. Depending on how many of them are able to come in, you'll determine the size.
And now, would this money go for construction, or this would go for training, right? This money, or would it go for a combination of both?
Helping build the training center itself.
Okay.
This here is a layout of our bioscience park.
It says here funds appropriated under this section must be used to provide training and testing for incubator firms developing new agricultural processes. Now, is that what you intend this for? This sounds like, doesn't sound like construction to me. This sounds like training to me.
Well, the spec building is being built ready. Would be the main component of the building, but then the space, the 7,000 to 10,000 square foot space, would be developing the lab, the classrooms, the equipment with AURI is what the development of the training would be. Minnesota West will also develop the curriculum that's being used along with AURI.
So, Council, do we need this language fixed up, or is this? We just had a bill in here where we had to change the language because the appropriation didn't fit the language. So I want to make sure that we've got the intent right in your bill here.
Yes, Mr. Chair, if they want to use it for the capital investment, basically the building, then let's see.
First part says that, I think.
Yeah.
But then the second part says it's for training and testing for the incubators.
Yeah, well, do we need that sentence?
I mean, do you want it for both?
Does the first sentence give you what you want?
I mean, the second sentence kind of contradicts the first sentence.
Why don't you, do you want to take a second?
Providing training, we have to have a space to provide the training.
Right, I understand.
I'm not going to put hairs on it. We can ask the amendment however you feel most comfortable.
Well, I want it to be your intent, whatever your
right.
intent is here.
What if we don't have that sentence? If we just have the first sentence, which is very broad, a grant to Worthington Regional Economic Development Corporation for an agricultural-based bioscience training and testing center.
They said just take this sentence out.
And but does is are you intending to use part of the money for actual training, or is that's outside of this, right?
It would be. I'm going to get back to the split.
I don't see it in your summary here. It doesn't look like actual teaching is part of this money, but I don't know if that's what your intent is or not. And so,
is a wet lab, is that construction, or is that part of the teaching? That's my hesitation. And I think what you're asking is it going to be for writing the curriculum, or is it going to be for putting in a wet lab? And this would be more for the wet lab, actual building. So Minnesota West would be able to work with us on the training component of it.
Mr. Chair, what if
Senator Dibble?
What if we were just to put the word facilities after the word testing on line 10? So it would be to provide training and testing facilities for incubator firms. It's not actual training and testing activities, but it's
that work.
Stop.
Okay. Senator Dibble moves it on line 110 after testing. Insert the word facilities. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion adopted. Okay, go ahead. Keep finishing your second chart here.
This here just shows the layout of the bioscience park. And you asked earlier about
the
dollars.
Facility then.
The picture, unfortunately, it's in black and white in your booklet. This green area is more the bioscience park, and the lines that go around here is what the $2.5 million would use for putting infrastructure underneath the streets. And the only thing we made at this point, is to put the streets in. We're waiting for 1 year of settling after the cross gets out of town this year, then we'll start putting in the streets. And it's been a very big help getting the bioscience park laid out. It's a very strong component of this, and now we need to go to the next step.
And just out of curiosity, this is a general fund appropriation, but is bonding acceptable in case general fund appropriation doesn't work?
Mr. Chair,
just a question.
On line 1.9, do you want to change the center to facility? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, we did that already. We fixed that for you. Just wondering if Senator Vickerman, I'm just checking because I got the finance chair here, and just in case we don't have enough cash to do this in general fund appropriation if bonding is okay also.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have to remember that down in southwestern Minnesota, we struggle to get any kind of decent high-paying jobs, and these are not cheap jobs. These are high-paying jobs, these lab technicians, because I have to compete against Iowa and Dakota on the other side. And it's just like you up in northern Minnesota, if you can get some good, decent-paying jobs, the young people will stay if you give them a decent job, a paying job. They won't stay there for no $8 an hour. But if you give them a decent-paying job, they will stay.
Committee, Chair and committee, not being adverse in the difference between the single appropriation and the bonding, but my limited knowledge would tell me that it would be okay with us going through bonding either one.
Okay. All right. Any further questions of the witnesses or Senator Bickerman? Okay. Seeing none, we'll lay this over then for possible inclusion in the omnibus economic development budget bill. Thank you, Senator Bickerman.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Cap, next meeting?
Mr. Chairman, next meeting is going to be budget overviews on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Budget overviews of the State Arts Board and the Historical Society.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the committee? Seeing none, good job today. Meeting adjourned.